afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe. I am not up in the captain's chair in the Gene Bar studio, but instead I am broadcasting to you live from a McDonald's car park halfway out to Port Ludlow, Washington. And Captain O'Brien is engineering for me today with many thanks from your captain. Why I'm in this car park and why I'm going to Port Ludlow will be clear when I take us through the binnacle list today with my part in it. My greetings today go out to all of you who sent me signals about my not giving you a binnacle list report about myself last week. And the reason for that was that there were a number of things that were in flux, and I had other material that I wanted to get to. And I guess what we really need to say is not that your captain forgot, but that there were other things that were more important to me. And I realize now that that was not a good decision. But in this McDonald's car park right across from me are two Italian cars. One of them is one of those little bobtail Fiat. And I will talk a little bit about why I'm here and not there in the binnacle list. So many thanks to all of you who sent me signals saying, why did we not hear from you on the last broadcast? And also the number of cards and letters and other signals that I have received during the week. And several of them said, Captain, we count on you to keep us all moving forward. And if that is true, then, of course, one of the reasons why I lay out what's happening to me is that hopefully it will be a strengthening message to those of you who are in much worse situations than I am. I hope I am not in such a bad situation, but there's some of that yet to be disclosed. In any case, those are my greetings and my thanks. And I have to say that all of you are helping me enormously. The letters, the cards, the warm greetings that fly through the air, all of these things are enormously helpful to me as I navigate waters which, for me, are up to now uncharted. That doesn't mean that I haven't before been in places that were not charted. The I Corps in Vietnam was one of those that was not very charted, and that was one of the reasons why the only place that I've ever been aground was in I Corps. I digress. So I'm going to take a sip of restorative liquid right now because I have to do that. The binnacle list today, I lost a Inghamham. He was not one of my shipmates in Vietnam, but he was one of the people that helped keep the Ingham story alive, and Dean was a good friend to all of us. My friend Peg has had a serious surgery. She's now recovering. The first few days of recovery were really hard, and now I am told that she's doing much better. All on the Coast Guard Channel who are on the binnacle list, it is a good time for me to remind all of you that if you follow the instructions of your medical practitioner, ones that you trust, then I want to have you come back on to full duty. And so here is my own report. There's no question but what the tumor at the place where the base of my tongue and the base of my throat come together is becoming more active. I can feel that. And so it is time for us to get on with it. The tumor board has recommended that we not do any more surgery and probably not any chemicals other than the one that I'm already taking for the cancer in the Antarctic end. For now, I have them both in the Arctic and in the Antarctic. That certainly is appropriate for somebody who was the ICE boss for Commandant Gracie. And for me to come at this time in my life and have treatable areas in both the Arctic end and the Antarctic end, the scan which examined the equatorial Africa part disclosed at this point no further spreading beyond what has already happened in the Arctic and in the Antarctic. So we're going to go at this with radiation to start off with. And the reason that I am in this car park across from a bobtail Fiat in a McDonald's looking at a sign that says the under $3 menu is because I have to have a dental clearance along with the completion of some dental work that was started a long time ago. And this clearance has to tell the tumor board that I am eligible for a radiation therapy program. So I'm halfway out to Port Ludlow, and if you look at a map or a Google Earth or anything like that, you might well say, well, Captain Joe, why do you go all the way out to Port Ludlow from Vashon to have dental work done? That is another story for another time. And but I do, and when Mary R. was with me, we would go out together. We would have work done out together. And every single time that we would go out, she would say, Joseph, why are we going out to Port Ludlow when there are good dentists on the island? And she's right about this. There are. And I said, well, Mary R., you may go to any dentist you want, but I will continue going out to Port Ludlow because for the reasons which I will disclose in some future discussion on this subject. The point I make here is that Mary R., every single time we would come out here, she would ask me the same question, even though she knew the answer. Would that we could do that again now. So, so some as early as the end of this month, next week, I begin the radiation treatment. I am briefed that it is going to be a challenge, and I'm pointing out to them being the people that are going to be doing this, the oncologist that's going to be doing this, and the tumor board, that they do not know yet with whom they are dealing. And it is the prediction is that I'm going to be reasonably sort of in some sort of Charlie status for the rest of August, for the month of September, and for the month of October. Well, I'm not so sure about all of that. It remains to be seen how well I tolerate the treatment and what happens after that. But right now, I am clearing the rest of August, and I probably will not be able to go to the glacier gathering, although I am not yet scrubbing that completely from old Mr. Calendar. So if anybody has, I do not want to, and I'm not going to belabor this beyond what I've already told you, except to tell you this, that I am of really fully good cheer. I am up in the captain's chair. Well, right now I'm not. I'm sitting in the driving seat of my car in this McDonald's car park. But and I am fully in command of everything that I still command. And that is what I have to say about all of that. There are a couple of things that I did not get to last week. I'm going to this week. Do you all remember the MSC Baltic 3? She ran aground in Cedar Cove in Newfoundland. And they were not able to pull her off because she is impaled on several really large and sharp rocks. I've seen a photograph of her just in the last couple of days. I've seen several photographs of her. And every captain who has loved ships under his command and looks at this sad photograph, it is very sad. And yet all of the people in her were saved. The ship could not be saved, and now she cannot be saved at all. They're going to pull her up onto the beach. There's some very long and very large and heavy chains that are being rigged to go out to her forecastle. They've started to heave around on those chains. She's been moved maybe 3 or 4 meters so far. She herself is over 600 feet long, and the objective of the exercise is to pull her up onto this beach and then take her apart, scrap her, and then recycle the steel. MSC, by the way, stands for Mediterranean Shipping Company. And the ship herself was a container ship. All of the containers have been self-loading and unloading. She has cranes along her main deck. And all of the containers have been taken off. The crew was all saved through some incredible rescue work by the Canadian Coast Guard, for whom I have the highest regard and respect. I've worked with Canadian Coast Guard people for a good part of my life on active duty, and I just have the highest regard for them, and especially the SAR people and the icebreaker people. So that's the story with MSC Baltic 3. She is going to be broken up. The steel is going to be recycled, and there's no possible way that she can be salved and made to sail again, which is, to this captain anyway, always a sad thing. Speaking of, as we were, of seagoing casualties, off of the coast of Costa Rica is a car carrier, and her name is the Ming Jiang Ku. And she is flagged, of all places, in the Marshall Islands. Off of the coast of Costa Rica, about 600 miles off of the coast of Costa Rica, she caught on fire. The 22 people in her crew have been saved, and the vessel right now has been abandoned, and salvage efforts are underway. I bring this one up in particular because the rescue was effectuated through AMVIR, the Automated Merchant Vessel Rescue System. AMVIR is precious to me. It's been around for over 60 years. It's precious to me because in two of my shore jobs, I ran pieces of the AMVIR system. And the way it works is that there's voluntary participation by the ship owners and the captains, the masters, and they call in to AMVIR. They tell them their now of course their AIS transponder code, and the AMVIR computer tracks them. And when there is a marine casualty, the word goes out over the Coast Guard AMVIR circuit. And it says to ships that are close according to the Amber computer, that are close to the casualty. We want you to divert from your track and go and effectuate this rescue. So Amber disclosed two ships that were close to the Mingjiangku in the Marshall Islands, flagged. And they went alongside. One of them rescued the crew, and the other one stood by while I believe that they were able to get the fire out. But the ship is still abandoned, and the crew is going with the ship that picked them up. But I'm particularly interested in this because we've had the Amber system for over 60 years. And the first computer was a computer called a RIMAC, and it lived up in the customs house in New York. And it had a stack of disks, and these disks were spinning, and there was a reader that ran around those disks and pulled up the information. When I completed my education at the Armed Forces Staff College, I was assigned to Pacific Area to run the Amber system for the entire Pacific Basin, and that was where I worked for another one of the great gentlemen of our service, Admiral Mark Whalen. And in that particular job, one of our big efforts was to recruit ships to become participants in the Amber program. And we had a really nifty pennant that they would fly if they were participants for a particularly long period of time. So here we are, more than 60 years later. It's still working. It's still saving lives. It is still using voluntary participation by sailors helping other sailors. And I'm just delighted to be able to tell this particular story. I think we've talked a little bit on this broadcast about the Jones Act. Basically, what the Jones Act says is named for Walter Jones, who was a congressman from the state of North Carolina and was a great supporter of the Coast Guard when he was alive. And the Jones Act essentially says that cargoes that go from one U.S. port to another must be carried in U.S. bottoms that are manned by U.S. officers and U.S. citizens. But there's a provision in it that the commander-in-chief, whomsoever he or she may be, may waive that if, in the interest of national security, there are not enough ships and people to man them under the U.S. flag to carry certain products. And I think it was either last week or the week before that I talked about ships that were under waivers, foreign flag vessels that were under waivers, that were carrying products like asphalt and petroleum products, things like that, that were foreign flag vessels. In fact, I think that one or two of them were under the Chinese flag. And I don't mean the Taiwan Chinese flag. I mean that other Chinese flag. Well, there's a lot of agitation now in the U.S. Merchant Marine, and in particular in the shipping companies in the U.S. Merchant Marine, to get the administration to knock off these Jones Act waivers and to go back to all of these cargoes being carried in U.S. flag vessels. Once a month, I go to a meeting of my brother captains in the Council of American Master Mariners local chapter here in Seattle. And there's a considerable amount of griping there about the fact that there are American bottoms that could be carrying this, but that for some political reasons, the administration continues to grant these Jones Act waivers. And right now we have one going on that is the longest that a Jones Act waiver has ever been in effect. So I will, of course, continue to be watching that and will be particularly interested to be able to report that those waivers have ended so that these cargoes can be carried in American bottoms. The Arctic North Sea route, the Russian North Sea route, is busy, and it's getting busier. And this summer, there will be an unprecedented number of vessels under the, particularly the Chinese flag. Again, not the Taiwan Chinese flag, but that other China, going across the North Sea route. And they are being escorted by at least three of the Russian nuclear-powered icebreakers. One of those icebreakers is named Cyber, S-I-B-I-R, and that is a continuation of the name of one of the first of the Russian icebreakers back in 1910, 1912. That was when the classic hull form that is shared today by Polar Star, that came in a much smaller version by the Fram, which you can go visit in Norway in the Fram Museum. The classic icebreaker hull form with the proper rounded stern with the ice knife over the rudder. And Cyber was one of those first ones, along with Yermak, those Russian names, great Russian names. I can just imagine what it was like to back and ram in a ship that was powered by reciprocating steam engines, where the engine has to be stopped and then put into reverse in order to back it down. And so the Russian stokers and people who actually manned the throttles back in 1910 and 1912 when those ships were built had to have been really nimble to answer the bells that came down from the bridge when they were in the back and ram mode. USS Fort Worth, littoral combat ship number 3, has been decommissioned. You all will recall that this is the class of ships that we built two versions of. The Fort Worth LCS-3 is one of the monohulls, not one of the trimarans. And she is, of course, not even 20 years old, and she's being decommissioned. I hope that if the offer is made by the CNO, Chief of Naval Operations, Admiral Caudill, to the commandant of the Coast Guard, Admiral Commandant, we have these ships. Would you like to have them? We recall that you took the AVPs, the small seaplane tenders, and they became ships like Captain Joe's Unimac. We just happen to have these hulls. Would you like to have them? It would not be the first time, and it won't be the last, when we have been offered some less than worthy hulls from the big outfit. I hope the commandant will say no, although the AVPs, like Unimac, were a huge success, and they served us for decades. But I don't want anything to do with Fort Worth LCS-3 or any of her sisters. Today, we still have a lot of smoke around here. I cannot see Mount Rainier from my deck, and the fire danger remains high. In the meantime, in the Strait of Hormuz and that whole area there, now there have been some attacks on ships, a ship, at least one, inside the Suez Canal, which is, of course, belongs to Egypt. And what this tells me is that regardless of the smoke being blown out of the great five-sided building known to us as the Pentagon before it gets renamed into something else, there's a great deal of smoke coming out of that building. And regardless of that, it does not look to me as if the United States, blockade or not, is controlling the Strait of Hormuz, the Persian Gulf, or any of those other waterways. That's what it appears to me, anyway. Navy Dimes tells us that the Davies Shipyard is supposed to deliver the first of the Arctic security cutters in 2028. I believe that Davies is also stoking a fire, and black smoke is coming up out of their shipyard. But in any case, I never count a ship in the fleet, and I certainly didn't count them in the fleet when I was the ice boss, until a captain was assigned and a commissioning pennant was broken. That's the term, by the way. A pennant or flag is broken, which means that it is hoisted and broken out so that we can see it. So Davies may be optimistic. In fact, they are optimistic. And I don't believe we're going to be breaking any commissioning pennants for any ships under the short stripes, the Coast Guard Ensign, in 2028. I was in Safeway a few days ago, and I was wearing a shirt that had been given to me. It had been specially made for me, and it had the hull number and the designation of my Northwind. And it had Semper Paratus. And the young lady at the check stand looked at my shirt and she said, "My brother is in the Coast Guard. And my uncle is in the Coast Guard." And that, of course, led to a discussion about where they were and where they were assigned and so on. And in the meantime, of course, people are queuing up behind us who have no interest. Hard for me to believe. Hard for you to believe, all of Captain Joe's people. Hard for you to believe that there are people that have no interest in the Coast Guard. But there were people that were lined up, and their half and half was beginning to go sour because I wanted to hear where both of these people were assigned. And what were they doing? And how did they like being a wearer of the shield and saving lives, which is what we continue to do this very day, even after our 236th birthday? Every now and then I go on to YouTube. Yes, I do. I go on to YouTube. And a few days ago, I listened to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. And he was talking about not how this particular war is going to end. It was a lot of pious, quasi-political pap and puke. Now, I think the chairman needs to buff off the wings that he wears on his uniform that have a star and a wreath that tells us that he is a high hour pilot. And he needs to buff off those four stars. And I would submit that I would help him should he ever come to me and ask for some advice and some help and say, "General, let's see if we can't put those stars on the desk of the Secretary of Defense with some firm advice as to what now our military can do and now what it no longer can do." Because there are times, and we are coming up on them, when we no longer can throw limitless bombs, shells, in the direction that we choose. I'm standing by, waiting for the chairman to tell us that he looks me right between the running lights from his podium in the Pentagon, or whatever it's going to be called, and says, "Captain Joe, I just took my stars off. I put them on the Secretary's desk. And now we're going to come up and tell everybody what the plan is, because now young people are coming home through Dover in body bags. It is now 1300 hours. That means that we have come to the end of our time together. And I am hopeful that what I laid out in the binnacle list is sufficient unto the needs thereof. Know how much I respect, admire, and love every single one of you, because you are helping me enormously, not only chart and navigate, but execute the next couple of months. We've all dealt with some really hard things before together, and we're going to be doing it again. With that, this is your Captain Joe. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. And as always, I am up in the captain's chair, and I am on station and watching properly.